This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
The podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Everybody, welcome to episode number 62 of The Payload. We are an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com. Today is March 30th, 2017, from Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horstman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, let's head on over to wonderful
San Diego.
Elo Hellville.
I'm pretty far out of Elo Hell, but we can go with San Diego instead.
I don't know John, where that is. You're just making up words. Okay. Hi, Rush.
Hey, I missed you guys. It's been a long 2 weeks. I felt like it's been a while since we've been here together on the show. So glad to be back.
Feels more like 14 days. Yeah, I get you.
It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, 14 days, 2 weeks. It's almost like those are the exact same. Weird. But anyway, I'm glad to get into the show. We have some interesting stuff to talk about this week with esports and stuff like that. So I'm ready to get into it with you guys.
Awesome. Well, before we do that, let's jump over to Camarillo, California. That's a real place. And say hi to Jimmy Blossom. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, everyone. Good to be back on after that week off and talk a little bit of Overwatch stuff. I mean, news is a little light this week, but there's a lot of stuff to talk about. So I'm excited to dig into this. And it's been a really, really busy week for me. I went to a Heroes event on Monday.
Yeah.
Wrote up a bunch of stuff on that. And that's all I can say about that right now.
But it's been officially announced, right? So what can you say about what you've been up to?
Heroes of the Storm 2.0 got announced, and it's actually pretty similar to Overwatch's progression system. Basically, your player account is completely unlocked now. There's a cap, but the cap is so high that it shouldn't be reached anytime soon. But it's like something like 6,000 levels, or I forget the exact number, but now you get loot boxes, and there's all sorts of new cosmetics like sprays, emotes. I mean, yes, it sounds very similar to Overwatch, but
they're called
loot chests instead of loot boxes.
I feel like Blizzard as a company has been making a lot of big changes across different games. Like, you have Overwatch that came out, and of course they haven't really changed much, but that's because Overwatch is so new. They had a lot of time to tweak it before it was released. But HOTS is seeing this revamped system. StarCraft is seeing this revamped system. World of Warcraft just got one of the biggest patches that they've had in forever, and it's just the pre-patch to, you know, the next big raid and stuff coming out. So while it's not Overwatch specific related, Blizzard as a company looks like they're taking steps for the future, which makes me even more excited for Overwatch and how that's going to continuously progress through the year in 2017. I got a little tongue-tied there, but I'm super excited, and it looks really promising, so it's pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, I think kind of off of that, it's really shown that Blizzard has grown as a company now that their teams are focused on their specific title, where I know back in the day, they would always share resources from other teams. Like, I believe they came out and said that StarCraft 2 was delayed simply because they had to pull people working on that to work on the WoW expansions because they weren't expecting it to be so successful. I mean, this is back in like 2005, so it's been a little while, but it's interesting. And I'm excited to see what Overwatch does in the future, because they're obviously still continuing to iterate on that. And
yeah.
It'll be good. Good times. Good times to be a Blizzard fan, I think.
It feels like systems are also, they're very similar in the sense of acquisition system. I mean, you can argue the loot box system kind of started with Hearthstone and pack openings, right? And arena awards. And then it kind of went in. You got loot boxes. We saw Tavern Brawl, which turned into the arcade. And we're getting that in World of Warcraft now, too. Or we're getting these more like arcade PvP type games. So there's a lot of consistency in systems happening across. But Blizzard is definitely firing on all cylinders. You've got Heroes 2.0, which I didn't see coming at all.
Neither did I.
That was totally a blindside to me. Yeah. I heard a couple birdies of like people going out places, and I'm like, I wonder what that's for. But somebody could have told me and be like, I think that they're doing Heroes 2.0. And I would have been like, why? Why? Like, isn't it 1.0 fine? Anyways. This is an Overwatch podcast. This is the obligatory writing of the ship that always happens at the intro of this show. Let's talk about our weeks in Overwatch for a moment. Rosh, don't spoil our experiment. We're going to do that later.
Okay.
Outside of our experiment, what have you guys been up to in Overwatch? Rosh, you're up first. Because Jimmy, I know you've been out. You've been doing cool, important industry things. Not sitting on your butt playing Overwatch. Hey, Ross, when you were sitting on your butt playing Overwatch, how did it go? Yeah.
It actually went really, really well. I have basically narrowed all of my Smurf accounts that I played, season one, season two, season three, down to three main accounts. And that is my main account, Okay, It's Rosh. That is my main Smurf account, in which I play on when I'm not feeling the high pressure of playing on an account that people know me by name. So I kind of hide on the Smurf account. And then I have the third account in which you and I duo with, which we'll get into a little later. But for the first two accounts, my first main, if you watch my stream, you'll know that I got up to 39.55, super close to Grandmasters. And then I got three Volskayas back to back to back and said, okay, I'm done. I'm done. And I logged off for the night. And then I hopped on the Smurf because I put in so many hours on that Smurf or on the main account of tryharding that I wanted low pressure games and I wanted a low Masters account to play on. Well, this last week, it turns out my Smurf has gotten higher than my main account now, which always seems to happen. And so now, right now, my Smurf is like 39.05, and my main is actually, I think it's 38.53. I decayed for a couple days. I was sick over this last weekend, so I decayed over the weekend because I wasn't able to get in on time. But I'm working on getting my main back, and we will get Grandmaster, and that is my goal for the season. It's been my goal for a couple seasons now, so hopefully this one will finally get it, and then I can call myself a Grandmaster solo queue support. That'll be exciting. It's been a good week.
Good. Good. Yeah, I know I've gotten to watch a lot of your streams, and you've been really close to that threshold for a while, so that's exciting. Congrats. Jimmy, anything that you kind of did in Overwatch over the last couple of weeks, or were you busy being a professional?
I played a little bit of Quick Match today. I was not feeling like jumping into competitive. I know we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but I played around with Ahriza, just trying to see how she kind of fits. I guess Quick Play is not the best place to necessarily figure that out, but it's a way to experiment at least.
Competitive is the best just place to go. Just always snap pick Ahriza in competitive.
It's hard because you don't want to give up your rating to try a new character. But honestly, in Quick Play, I can't even warm up in Quick Play games anymore. It's gotten so bad for me. I haven't been able to enjoy Quick Play at all because no one cares. So it's when I start, I just go right into ranked and I use a ranked match as my warm up. And it feels kind of bad to say I'm putting my rank on the line for a game that I'm not completely in 100%. But that's really the best way to do it these days.
Okay, slight tangent. What if they added a kind of unranked mode, similar to how competitive is off-season?
I think it just turned into the same thing. I think the reason that Quick Play isn't a good, efficient way of testing new heroes or warming up is because people just don't care, which is rightfully so. People choose heroes that they've never played before. So the match just kind of ends in a stalemate and you don't really have a lot of fun and you don't really get a practice. So I feel like that would end the same way. It would just be longer matches because a quick play match ends after the attacker either captures it or the defender defends it, whereas rank goes on both sides. So I think it would just be a longer stalemate and not so fun.
Yeah, I think if there's like no stakes even if it's competitive by competitive rules. I mean, the only difference between quick play and competitive is right now is besides the ranking system is you have longer games because you have best of fives and you do offense and defense and you have a very harsh lever penalty. So that's really it. So, I mean, it's just the mindset of people is totally different. And rightfully so. At the end of the day, Overwatch is a game and you got to be able to go somewhere and have fun. I know a lot of people who don't think competitive is fun at all. It's too much stress and too much. They can't do it or they don't feel like they're good enough to do it. So that's got to happen. But there should be, like, I think you're doing the best thing that you can right now is to do that. Like, it would be cool. I wonder if they would ever do a, like, I don't know. Like, if there would ever be a way for, like, you could opt into the first competitive match of the day or something to, like, not count and only be paired against people with that. But it wouldn't, maybe. Like, it would be, like, the same thing at the end of the day.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think there's a way to directly address it.
Exactly. I don't think there's a way to get a 12-person match where everybody's actually trying because they want to warm up for ranked. I think that that's too small of a group and it would be too hard and it would just eventually turn into the same thing that Quick Play is now. So,
yeah.
Oh, well.
Totally agree. Hey, guess what? We're going to go into the news.
This week in Overwatch.
Before we jump into the news, we do want to thank our MVPs, Adam B, J.A., Karel, Tommy H, and Liam O. Thank you so much for your support of The Payload. If you like the show and you want to support, get in on some cool perks, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. That's all I've got to say about that. So, we've got some news. First, big wide Blizzard stuff. We've got a spring cleaning sale going on at gear.blizzard.com where we've got basically discounts anywhere from 15 to 75% off. And believe it or not, the 75% off stuff is not that limited. You've got like the $70 plush Horde and Alliance blankets, Murloc mugs, the cute but deadly mugs as well. Basically, I think the only thing that was missing from that was just like regular t-shirts and stuff like that. So pretty sweet overall. So make sure to check that out. Anything in particular you guys saw in this sale you want to let people know about? Yeah.
Not really anything Overwatch related, which makes sense because since it's a spring sale, they're not really going to give a lot of Overwatch new release kind of stuff since that it's all pretty new still. So nothing really Overwatch. There was a Winston plushie, and then there was the little bird that sits on Bastion's shoulder, that plushie. So if you're into Overwatch stuff, that stuff was on sale. I think it was like $7 for the Winston plushie, maybe 10. I'm not sure. Don't quote me. But it was pretty cheap, and they were cute little things. I think that was really the only Overwatch stuff, but everything else was super cute. If you're a big coffee drinker and you play any Blizzard kind of games, the Murloc mugs are kind of just a wide. You don't have to play World of Warcraft to enjoy them. Those were cute too. And then I think John said before the show, the blankets, they're like $70 originally before the sale. I think they're $15 after the sale.
$17.50.
And John was saying that he had a really comfy one. So I think I might actually get, they're really, really good quality. I think I might actually grab one for $70. It should be good quality, but I might steal that off the website.
And while we're there, actually, we didn't put this in the show notes, but BlizzCon tickets go on sale April 5th and April 8th, right?
They're just trying to get all your money in this like 2-week period.
Want to go to BlizzCon or you want 100 things from the gear store? So, it's going on. $200 again?
Right? Yeah, I believe so. But also on the sale for those collectors, like Rosh was saying, the plushes are all on sale, or a majority of them. Also, pop figures. Like, this is the cheapest you'll be able to find pop figures. You might want to put some other stuff.
$4.
Yeah, you might want to put some other stuff in there to take advantage of the what you'll pay in shipping. But yeah, it's a pretty darn good deal.
Yep. So make sure to take care of that. Get some free, or not free stuff. Get some cheap stuff on the gear store. It's a good place to be. Gear.blizzard.com. All right, next up. This is
not so cheap stuff.
Yeah. fourth, I believe, statue has been released for Overwatch, and it's Widowmaker. So we have the Tracer statue first, the Soldier statue that came with the Collector's Edition. They have a Reaper statue, and now they have this lovely Widowmaker statue, $150. We'll get an awesome Widowmaker in your home. To go next to your Tracer statue. I've got Tracer and Soldier. I don't have Reaper. Isn't that one more expensive, the Reaper one? Isn't it like $250 or something?
I think the Reaper one was a lot more, but because I think it was a bigger overall statue because of his coat and the outfit that he wears, so right. I think it was more expensive. But it's totally worth it. I've never understood before. I've seen the Overwatch statues. I never really understood why people paid so much for these figurines to me. But now that I've seen them
right
come
here,
out...
Rush.
Now right that here. I've seen them come out, I understand the quality of these statues, and it's worth every penny that you invest. If it's something towards a game that you've invested your time into, I can completely understand it. So if Widowmaker is one of your favorites, you should definitely hop on the deal. They did just release it. I'm waiting for a Mercy one. I don't think I'll grab any of the other ones, but I think that will be the first figurine statue that I've ever bought for myself, and it will be completely worth it.
yeah so pretty cool overall. Let's start talking about Overwatch stuff now. That sounds good, right? However, this thing doesn't feel very good to talk about. Mm-mm. So Overwatch's new hero number 24. Orisa is live now and available to be played in comp. And
but please don't play her.
Stop. Stop it. Please. Right now. Yes. Stop.
Please, please. In the show notes, he said Orisa is live. And then under he put dash FML dot. And I went in the show notes today when I saw it, and I bolded it and underlined it and italicized it. No. This is the thing. Arisa, what are you saying to me?
She's bad. No, just kidding.
She's good with the right team, with the right team comp. And if the person who picks her actually knows how to play her. And because she was just released in ranked, everybody thinks they know how to play her. And at low elo, at medium elo, at high elo, everybody's trying. And they aren't, they're still kind of, I understand, trying to figure out a way how to run her, how to play her, what comp she's good at. But people are already figuring this out. And unless you're running that comp, please stop. If you were running her on offense as a main tank, please stop. If you're running her on defense as a main tank, please stop. You have to figure out this team comp to make her work. And it is so detrimental to the team if you are not doing so. Please, John and I are begging you.
Here's how Rosh and I's conversation went on Hanamura. He picks Orisa on defense on Hanamura. And he goes, yeah, I can play Orisa pretty well. It's just about if, you know, the people can play with her. And I'm like, dude, she just came out today. Like, nobody knows how to play with her, number one. Number two, he didn't know how to play her. He was just popping shields wherever he felt like. I think that he thought his armor was his or her, like, whatever the thing that makes her all gold and she can't take movement. I think that he thought that made her take like less damage,
which a lot of people have mistaken that for. I've noticed a lot of people have said, you know, it took me a couple games to realize that her immunity to stuns and pins and charges and basically CC didn't reduce my damage. And then it just like made me understand this week that we've had in comp with Orisa, and it just all clicked. And I was like, I now know why it's been awful. So people don't yet understand her.
So
yeah,
here's what I'm going to ask all of our listeners out there. Okay. Come in, come on in here. Come on in. Nice and close. Okay? So, we all know. We know that you want to play Orisa. We know that you think she's the new hotness. And that you're going to be the first one to make her work. You're not. You're not going to try her once, play with her after the first death. Please switch to Reinhardt. All right, that's it. Anyways.
All right. Hey. I think John and I might have been over-exaggerating a little bit because of our feelings from this last week. I'm sure that she will be able to be played better and more efficiently as the weeks go on and people learn to adapt and be able to actually play with her.
I just
want to fast forward and skip the next week of trying to climb ELO with her while people figure this out. I spoke earlier about Orisa not really being played well in the right comps, but a lot of the time, from what I've noticed, and I'm sure we will continue to find out new comps to play her in, but right now what seems to be working is playing her on offense with a Reinhardt. You heard that here, folks. She does not replace the Reinhardt. She goes with the Reinhardt and a Bastion. So Orisa, Bastion, and Reinhardt
and May
work
get
really,
out
and May yeah
stop it
work extremely well together on offense. So if you are looking to play Orisa in competitive, try and get a group that wants to play with that and move forward, or wait until Orisa becomes more viable with other, or people figure out how to make her more viable with other characters, because right now people are running Orisa as a main tank, and that's simply not. She wasn't introduced to take the place of Reinhardt. She was introduced to fit into the puzzle.
Jeff Kaplan said we wanted them to be an anchor tank. We wanted Orisa to be an anchor tank like Reinhardt. Those were almost his exact words.
But well, she's maybe not. That was his intention, but her kit was not meant to replace him. And I think a lot of people are trying
just because
to
she can't move. Anywhere quickly doesn't mean that she replaces Reinhardt.
Part of the problem, though, is she looks like her character model makes you think she's this big beefy hero, but she gets melted. Like
Tracer
really
eat her alive. Tracer will eat her alive. It's you have to know how well to play her. But yeah, in the coming weeks, people will figure out how to play her. I'm sure she will become more of a puzzle piece to comps, and she will have her place in competitive, but right now playing her on attack, defense, king of the hill every single time is not the way to go. So I can't wait until we start to figure that out and she forms her own niche and she can fit into that and only fit into that. I cannot wait.
Guys, just settle down with the Orisa and Kong, please. Just come on, get in a six stack, play Orisa all you want, go ahead. Give it five friends who understand and don't mind dropping their rating. Go ahead and do that. And go nuts, kid. But stay out of my single queue and duo queue lobbies with your snap picking Orisa.
I think John is a little worked up over Orisa.
I got to breathe.
It's getting a little hot in here.
I got to breathe.
So, with talking about Orisa, did you want to get into our experiment and start talking about that?
Maybe
you can cool off a little bit. We'll talk about some good points.
Yeah.
I'll let you you know more about your rating and what you placed previously and all that. So
I know all about my rating. I know all about it. So, as we have teased on this show for over a month, Rosh and I wanted to do an experiment. And basically what it was, I felt like when I was playing solo queue, I felt like I was doing very well, but still losing quite a bit. And I'm like, I don't feel like my rating accurately reflects where I sit as a character and where I sit as a player. So we put this experiment and hypothesis forward that said, well, let's roll brand new accounts. Let's, as soon as we get to 25, which took longer than I think we anticipated.
Yeah, oh definitely. My God. 22 to 25. Not that you could speak personally for it, John, because you cheated, but 22
so
to 25 was hard. I didn't cheat.
Yes,
I did it on stream, 22 to 25. So you can't call me that, but it was hard.
I dinged 25 myself. Thank you very much.
So did I, but I also dinged 22, 23, and 24 myself too.
I don't understand why this is a big deal for you. I don't understand why.
But yes, we finally We finally hit 25 after hours of painstakingly cruel quick play. And we got together and we did our placement matches. And I'm not sure what we ended. What did we end? Do you remember? The placement matches? Do you remember what we ended?
Yes. Oh, you want me to say that right now?
Yes. Yeah.
So I ended.
She's looking for a little help, John. Come on.
I ended at 29-12 at my place.
How many games did we win and how many did we lose?
We went 8-1-1.
Right. Wow. We did have a tie. Yeah. So we went 8-1-1. I basically played Mercy the entire time. And I think you played Zarya the entire time. I think maybe one match you played Soldier. That might have been after. But I placed at 31-1, I believe.
Yeah. You placed about 200 points higher than I did because your support. Just kidding. You're just better than me. Significantly better than me. But in season 4 on my main, I placed in silver. I placed around 1,700. So together, Rosh either carried me 1,200 points. May very well be. But I had a lot of medals. I had a lot of medals. So I'm just saying. I'm not saying I got carried all the way. I'm just saying I held my own, okay? I held my own. So anyways, that's what we got. And we actually got up to, you got to Masters on that. And I got to about 3,300. So you didn't really outpace my
Yeah, I didn't really outpace. Either. I stayed within about a 200 point differential between everything. But I think one of the most interesting facets to me doing this experiment is talking to you and asking your opinion on how the games have changed from your Zarya perspective, from you ulting a group and being at a higher elo and how the DPS reacts to that versus you ulting at a lower elo and the DPS having no idea what to do about. So I think that was the coolest thing, is seeing it change for you, because I could tell when we were queuing at 1700, because we originally tried queuing on your main when you were at 1700, I could tell a difference in the DPS following up on your ults compared to how we were
at
on our
1700.
Main.
I think you mean what DPS? Because
exactly.
Come on, come on. Yeah. So it was it was really interesting to see that. It felt great to have like ultimates followed up on, and like anytime you ult, it's like people understand the game well enough to know that like you don't have to announce it in chat. Be like, hey guys, in 25 seconds, I'm going to be popping my Zarya ult. So make sure it's just like, no, there's a spot. Do it. Boom. The Pharah's right there and done. Like I freaking love that about the games that we were playing with. And we were playing some Masters games there for a little bit in placements.
Yeah,
and when we were topping out at Diamond, then Orisa happened.
Yeah, then Orisa came out. And the day that Orisa, I'm not caught this. It's too much of a coincidence, but the day Orisa came out and Orisa started populating our games on both sides of the map and King of the Hills, we had a very rough time. And I think we dropped 200 points, but then we hovered there because I dropped from 3,500 to 3,350-ish. Mm-hmm. And then we've kind of hovered there. So it's been a lot of back and forth. So I think as Orisa kind of evens out and the comp and people find where she fits into the meta, I think that we'll be able to slowly climb back up to where we were.
And I also learned that I can play a pretty mean Winston as well.
It's actually Miro true. Level. It's actually true. Okay, well, I mean, I didn't say that, but
you did say that. You did say that. I've got it on stream, right into group chat.
It's so. I think what might be interesting and what we might want to look at going forward is, say, for example, we get you to Masters. Then you should solo queue.
I get myself to Masters with the help of you. Very different. Very different terminology.
Wait, what did I say?
You said, let's say that I carry you on my back to Masters while we get 5v6'd.
Oh, man. Okay, well.
You can apologize now. It's fine. People aren't going to hear this part.
When we get to Masters together, I think that maybe we should visit the idea. Exactly. 51-49, but that's okay. You solo queuing at Masters tier on your own and seeing how well you're able to hold your own, because then that'll show you how good of a player you are. And you won't have any excuse to say, oh, no, you know, I was getting carried, you know, 100% where you stand.
Yeah, that's a good
point. I think that'll be interesting.
So carry me to Masters and then be like, watch me fall in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, I'm like, I'm at 2100 again. I just got the worst cues ever.
I just delete the account.
I'd be like, experiment over. This is rigged. Overwatch. The Overwatch team heard about it and they're like, nope, we're getting that kid back down. Start queuing him into one numlocked. He loves Mercy mains, by the way. Anyways, that's our experiment. We're going to keep going throughout the season. We'll keep you up to date on how we're doing. We've been duo queuing quite a bit, usually 2-3 times a week. So,
and we stream it too. And so we'll do a multi-pledge. So if you're ever interested in actually seeing it instead of just hearing about it, I know I have a mod in my channel. They spam the multi-twitch periodically throughout the stream. So you can just visit John at twitch.tv/kicktripod or myself at twitch.tv/okayitsraj. You'll see the link for the multi-twitch and then you'll be able to see it from both perspectives. So if you're ever interested in actually seeing it instead of just hearing about it, we do it most of the time.
Both perceptives. Sorry.
Wait, did I say both perceptives? Wait,
yeah,
did I say that?
It was adorable.
Perspective.
Anyways, so that's it for our experiment. Sorry, I get tongue-tied all the time, so I'm just glad to know when somebody else gets tongue-tied like me.
As well.
Anyways, so we're going to go ahead. Can we go into esports here a little bit? Does that sound good?
We can.
All right, so we've got a new sounder for esports, but I got lazy and didn't finish it, so I got to do it live. And then Rosh is going to do it live next week.
I'm muting myself for this. Have fun,
I'm
everybody.
I'm covering my ears for this.
Yeah, all right. Overwatch esports! All right, we're good. So this week in Overwatch like esports... this week in Overwatch esports, we've got quite a bit going on. And Jimmy, come back. Hey, over here. Pay attention, Jimmy. Jeez.
I am.
All right.
I am.
So big news in the kind of mainstream first party Overwatch tournament channel here. The Overwatch World Cup 2017 has been announced. And this is pretty interesting. It's changing a little bit from how it was last year. Jimmy, what's going on with the Overwatch World Cup in 2017?
So there's actually a couple different phases this time around. Obviously, it's being announced a little bit earlier than it was last year. Phase one is this announcement. And the top 32 nations are going to qualify for the World Cup. And they're determining that by the top 100 in each country's leaderboard. No surprise to anyone, South Korea is number one currently at 45-34. But China's 3 SR are right behind them. And USA is 4 behind them, or 34 behind them at 4,500. So really interesting news here. I'm really excited to see how they determine who goes on which team. Going forward, was that announced? I can't remember, but there's going to be multiple events is basically the really big thing about this. So I'm excited to see how these play out, what the production is like. And it almost feels like this is kind of to hold us over till Overwatch League really gets finalized. We'll see though, but this is good. We really enjoyed last year's, even though the Koreans came and cleaned house. it was a lot of fun. Yeah, the games were not that good, but it was fun being in that arena watching US play. Like, that was cool. I'm a little surprised at how high, honestly, USA is on the leaderboards currently. I'm wondering if that's a side effect of people playing more on North America, just because that's where a lot of the competitive scene is right now, or are we actually that good?
I think we're... I think US is good. There's a lot of good players.
I think US is good. I think the reason it's so close is because US has a lot more teams, I think, than any of the other regions. And each of those team members on said teams have multiple Smurfs all within that same high, super high bracket. So I think that definitely elevates the numbers and pushes us up there. So it'll be interesting to look at how they view the top 100. Is it top 100 and everybody has to report accounts that are multiples of their own? Because out of the top 100, there's probably 75, 80 unique accounts. The others are Smurfs from other people. So top 100 will be the top 100 players, but it'll probably stretch down to probably the top 150 people on the leaderboard. So that'll be interesting. But I think that that's why the USA is so close to China and Korea, which is well-deserved. I mean, we have pretty good players, so I think it's deserved.
Just not good team players. We do it all ourselves. Arisa mains all around.
A bunch of Arisa mains.
Yep.
We're on the same wavelength, at least.
Yeah. So, hey, that's pretty cool. That's going to be going on. And then we also had the grand finals for Carbon Series, and the casters were actually here in Denver. I didn't get to meet any of them. Didn't see Hex or ZP hanging out anywhere. Stalked them as hard as I could. Tried to find them wherever I could. Couldn't do it. I don't know where they are.
Some things I don't think you should admit. I think there are some things you might want to keep to yourself.
Sorry. I mean, I put it on Twitter, so.
Oh, okay.
It was just all like, right.
Well, as long as it's public stalking, then it's fine.
Anyways, I shouldn't use the word stalking. That's a bad word to use. But
I swear I'm not going to stab you, but I'd like to hang out with you.
Just want to hang out with you. So that went on. So, Rosh, you want to tell us about the finals here?
They were so good. This is probably the finals. If you didn't watch them, Immortals actually defeated LG Evil 3-1 in the Carbon Series. And if you did not know who LG Evil was, it is the prior known roster as Hammers Esports, which we've talked about the last couple podcasts over how good they've been and how they came into the scene and shocked everyone. So LG Evil is the old Hammers Esports, just under a new team name. So they actually finished the season up until this finale 9-1, whereas Immortals, I think it was 6-4 is what they finished, and Immortals beat them out 3-1. So it was kind of just mind-blowing, and it was a really good game to watch at first until it kind of rolled into Immortals.
Just a little bit,
but Immortals kind of ran them over at the end. But I think the big thing about that was just that LG Evil doesn't have as much experience in these high stake games as Immortals does. If you look at the Immortals roster, they've been together forever, and they've been doing these huge tournaments for the entire time. They're used to this. They're used to this pressure. They're used to competing at this level. They're used to competing for these stakes. And LG Evil showing up for the first time for this kind of stake prize game, I think they held their own pretty good, even though ended as a 3-1. And I definitely think that they'll come back in the next tournament ready to take it all the way.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely 3-1 series where you're like, okay, yeah, the team who won 3-1 just completely stomped them. But this is one where you'd have to watch the matches and see how close they were. I mean, especially that game 3, which is on Nepal, it went to that final control point map. And it was Immortals dominated that fifth game, but it was really close before that. And I thought what was really interesting was actually in that game 3 set on Nepal, Immortals used Ariza on one of the maps, and it was really interesting decided to try that there. I'm just trying to get John tilted.
It was really interesting to me because I don't think LG Evil won a capture point map, did they? Or not a capture point map, a King of the Hill map. I don't think they won. They did two, right?
Yeah.
They did Nepal and they did Oasis. I think they did both of those, and they lost both of them, which if you look at LG Evil and you ask them, what is your favorite map to play? What do you think you're the strongest on? It's those maps. Yeah. So I definitely think it had a little bit to them maybe being nervous or maybe them just not really understanding how to go into this game, because those are their strongest points and they kind of faltered at those points. So I think that that's something that the team itself can look within to their team and what was going on mentally, and they can fix, and then they can come back. Because if they had won those two games, it would have been tied, and then it could have gone either, or they would have won then, because it would have been 3-2 or 3-1. So I think if they are able to look at them, see what happened, and then come back, they'll totally, in a rematch, would be able to take Immortals.
Yeah, well, they have beaten them in the past. So at the monthly melee for February, they actually beat Immortals 3-1 to go to, that was the semifinals, where they would lose 3-1 to Rogue in the finals. So they've beaten them before. So either Immortals prepared for the LG Evil roster and they spent more time doing that. Or it was, you know, just one of those things where they played better. They were more comfortable and, you know, that was it. But either way, Immortals definitely look like the better team once playoffs started.
In groups, I
would say LG Evil. Honestly, they look good, and their record showed that.
9-1, yeah. That's insane.
I mean, the series looked really close. I mean, Immortals obviously went up 1-0, but in the second game, which was on Anubis, I didn't really understand what Immortals was doing because they used a McCree. I can understand that, I guess, to start on point A, but they stayed with it on point B there was like 2 minutes left, and then they switched it to a Tracer, and the Tracer did absolutely nothing.
And I think what John said a couple minutes ago when he said, I think Immortals did their homework on LG Evil, is that's actually what LG Evil does on Anubis specifically for the double capture or for the second point, is they run Roadhog McCree and they are able to make that comp work. And so I think that shows that's exactly what Immortals did, is go back and watch vlog footage of how LG Evil plays. They saw that it worked on a map as infamous as Temple of Anubis being a draw in a competitive tournament. And they said, okay, well, LG Evil can make this work. Let's try and make it work. Except they weren't able to, you know, put all the puzzle pieces together and make that comp work. So I definitely think they did look into LG Evil, and that's why they did that. But LG Evil obviously has much more experience and success in running that comp. And Immortals tried to mimic that and just couldn't come to the plate with it. Yeah. So I think that's what happened.
Speaking more broadly about Temple of Anubis, though, I thought it was interesting because I didn't watch the whole tournament, but I guess through the entire tournament, teams were forced to play on Temple of Anubis, and that's generally been a map that NA is, I feel like, struggled at. And it seems like they're kind of finally figuring it out. I mean, do you think that's the case, or just because they're both NA teams playing against each other, so we don't know for sure necessarily yet?
I don't know what it is about LG Evil that they kind of run through Temple of Anubis. I don't think I've watched enough games, and I'm not an Overwatch Temple of Anubis analyst, so it's really hard for me to figure out like what is different between LG Evil and these other teams that are struggling on this map. LG Evil has definitely figured it out, that you could say for sure. I think other teams are slowly figuring out double capture point, but they've also adjusted, haven't they, tried to fix double capture points by adjusting the res time on the defense's point of view at the second capture point? I know they tweaked something in there, and I think it went unnoted and we hadn't talked about it on the podcast, but I know that they tweaked something and it still hadn't quite pushed everybody's distaste of a double capture point map out of their mouth. But I think that might, just that teeny tiny change that they did, and I think it was that they tweaked the defenders' res times. I think that has helped make attackers more successful. I don't think it's necessarily anything they've been doing. I think they're just taking that slight advantage that they have now, and it's becoming less of a draw, but still the majority of the matches are draws.
Yeah. So overall, I really enjoyed. I'm glad the Overwatch esports team is investing a lot in kind of these regionally based tournaments. We've got one coming up for China really soon as well. Obviously, you've got Apex going on, but we just had Carbon Masters. We have the PIT Championships ongoing as well right now. So, like, I've really been enjoying seeing how these, not, I don't want to say smaller tournaments in the sense of like prize pool or team quality, but these smaller tournaments in region, right, where you are only getting teams from specific regions for the most part. I've really been enjoying watching those kind of tournaments happen, and I can't wait for Overwatch League. Please.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to see China because they're number two in the rankings right now in the right. the Overwatch League that we just talked about. And this has been a struggle in every esport, but it's been really hard to see like Chinese tournaments. It's always been really difficult to see the broadcast of them. They're either at really weird times or the quality is not good or they're
or on a Zubu friendly, TV.
Yeah, they're on something that, yeah. that North American users never really use, or right. there's not an English stream, which makes it that much more difficult to follow.
Right. Yeah. So we'll have to see. But that is actually it for esports news. Overwatch esports. So dang. nothing else really that new that I could find. It's been kind of a slow week overall. In esports this week coming up, we still have OGN Apex Season 2 coming up, which I believe is, I want to say, LW Blue and Meta Athena. We're in the playoffs. It's the bronze final. So that's going on. Nice and exciting.
Yeah.
I'm not
saying to not watch us right now, but as soon as we're done with the show, Overwatch Pit is going on.
Yep. Pit.
And our friend of our podcast, Jet Set Jamerson, is casting that.
Yeah. So, and other friend of the podcast, I would say too, is Ask Joshy, and he's casting the EU mm-hmm. ones tomorrow. So
nice.
Yeah, so lots of friends of the show getting involved in esports, which we love. So you've got Pit going on, and then it's actually pretty cool. Australia and New Zealand has their season one. It's been ongoing. It was the first month kind of going on, but it's still going on right now. So lots to be going on here in the Overwatch tournaments and things coming up. So sweet. All right. You know, so small PSA, we want to start doing some hero deep dives stuff with you guys where we can kind of dive into the play style of playing with or playing around certain heroes. But we really want to know which heroes you'd like for us to tackle first. Send us an email to thepayload@blizzpro.com, tweet us at Payload Podcast, or leave a comment on the YouTube video with that. Which heroes you would like to see us dive into first? I would recommend Mercy because we have a really good Mercy we and can a really get, good Lucio player.
Yeah, we could get pretty into how you play Mercy and how you play Lucio. So
I was playing some mean Mercy today on stream.
Oh, were you? See
it. Yeah,
I'll have to go back and like, okay, you know what, John?
I didn't fall off the bridge in Eichenwald.
I did that for, and you know, I was watching that clip, and if you guys haven't seen it, I can't link it in chat, but I'll link it in Skype for one of them to link it in chat. I was really looking at that. Our soldier had ulted and killed three people, and my ult was at 93%. So I tried to shift back up. If I had been able to make it, I could have gotten the last 7% of my ult and then rezzed the three people that were dead. And we could have won that. So that little fall off of the bridge was my fault.
Yeah.
And we lost. And I take full responsibility for that.
There it is. See how the music just soothes? Anyways. Yeah. So that was really funny. We were spamming that clip in my chat today. So.
Oh, were you really?
Yep. We're doing it. So that was fun. And I told them to clip my all my 4, 5, and 6 man Mercy reses. So, you know, I'm just saying.
So you
I'm
have one saying. Clip to show? Is what you're saying?
Multiple clips. Every time too, I'm like, clip it and send it to Rosh. Send it her way. Every time. So yeah. Anyways,
I could send you like a 5-man res I got like 6 months ago in comp.
6 months ago.
which bot game was that? Oh, sorry. Look at that Jimmy face. Clip that Jimmy face. That's brutal.
Yeah, pretty much
right there.
Jeez.
Savagery. Anyways, oh my gosh. Let's here's one for you, Rosh.
Rest in pieces. Time is money, friends, and we're almost flat broke.
We got to get out of here. Short stream podcast this week. I mean, because there just wasn't that much. And we failed on a strategy segment. We're like, oh, crap, we didn't do that. So, but tell us which heroes you want us to go through first. That'll be really exciting for us. And also send us your emails. We love hearing your emails with questions, comments, ideas, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So that's it. Let's jump into a Patreon really quick because we forgot to load the iTunes reviews. So Jimmy, what's going on with Patreon? Don't worry, that's up to date.
Yeah, first of all, thanks to our wonderful MVPs. Without you, we wouldn't be able to do this show as well as we do. We want to thank Shadow, J.A. Coral, Tommy H., and Liam O. Thank you so much for helping us make the podcast come to you guys. If you like the show and would like to show your support, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast for all the details and find out all the wonderful rewards there and help us continue to go towards our merch store, which will be unlocked at $200.
Nice. We also are on iTunes, and I've got 2 weeks of them to put in here. So, Rosh, start reading them very slowly.
All right, iTunes reviews. If you guys have not left an iTunes review yet, 5-star reviews help us a ton on a week-to-week basis, and they're incredibly easy to leave. If you do leave one, you get to hear me try and pronounce your name. I think last 2 weeks ago, we had this joker who came in and gave me the most absurd screen name to read, so I had a lot of fun deciphering that and trying to figure out how to read that, but I thought it was pretty funny. If you haven't left one yet, you could do so at iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts. Shout outs to Diesel Ducky, Red Rifle, IRL Lloyd Christmas, Chucky Geezer, and The Juice is Zeus. I think I said them right. I didn't get a lot of practice in before I had to read them off, but thank you guys so much for the reviews.
Intentional chat. It's intentional for all of our listeners.
Thank you so much. Yeah. For the 5-star reviews, they help us a ton. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
The Juice is Zeus describes the show as the Michael Jordan of Overwatch podcasts. Chucky Geezer says the best Overwatch podcast. IRL Lloyd Christmas says epic. And then, I don't know what else we got here. We have one that says good podcast from Diesel Ducky. He says best Overwatch podcast I've found. Oh. He calls it good podcast.
There you go.
I love it.
There you go.
And then Red Rifle, the title of his review, competitive, which is all we are. It's all we are. We're just competitive dudes and dudettes.
You'll get tired of us winning in the podcast game.
Just win. You'll be like, I'm sick of winning. Sick of winning. Payload podcast. You're giving me too many good tips. You're playing at such a high level. Anyways. Thank you guys for the 5-star reviews. Figured to have a little fun with them this week. Let's do some shout outs for the week and where people can find you. Jimmy, you're up first. Think about it.
What's your Twitter handle? What is my Twitter handle? It's at DJ Tyrant. It's listed there on the overlay right there that John has so wonderfully provided for everyone. Twitch.tv/DJ Tyrant, and all my stuff is basically there. Just follow me, and that's how you get to hear about what I'm doing.
Nice.
Simple as that.
Easy, squeezy, easy lemon peasy. Let's go over to California and see what Rosh says. Hey, Rosh. Hey.
Hi. Massive shout out to everybody who has come by and hung out and chat. I've had a lot of people come over from the podcast, and it's always really cool seeing you guys say, hey, I'm here from the podcast. Just want to stop by and show my support. I love it. I would not stream and do what I do every single day if it wasn't for you guys. So massive shout out. I've been loving streaming. You can find my channel if you have not checked it out yet at twitch.tv/okayitsrosh, OKAYITSROSH. And then at Twitter, it is at F2K_OKIt's Rosh as well. I always post when I'm going live, if I'm not streaming, and the occasional clip of me jumping off the bridge at Eichenwald. So you can check me out for some good clips there.
Jump good out. For you.
Applause.
Look at you. Yeah. Nice little golf
and
clap.
I will be I'll be streaming. I think this, if it goes live tomorrow, then I'll be streaming today. And if it goes live on Saturday, I'll also be streaming today. So nice. I'll see you guys there.
Nice. As for me, I'm streaming as well. So when you're not watching Rosh, so come hang out with me. And then when she goes live, go over to her stream, because that's what happens every time. But I'm streaming a lot as well. We have a lot of fun on the stream. Thank you to everybody who has been coming out to the stream. We're having a lot of fun. So that's at twitch.tv/kickedtripod. KickedTripod. Just like your mama spells it. Smells it? All right. Anyways, wow. It's been a weird one. Thank you for tuning in for episode 62 of The Payload. Make sure to find awesome Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blizzpro.com. And, of course, send us your emails to thepayload@blizzpro.com. Leave your iTunes reviews. And a big thank you to Jake Butno for our awesome, awesome music. And a big thank you to John Horseman for our awesome live sounder for esports this week. And, yeah, I think that's going to do it for us. For myself, Rosh, and Jimmy, we'll see you all next week. Have an awesome week. Bye, everybody. Bye.